rather sobering video. The condition of the church, especially here in America, but I would say the church globally is suffering in many places, except in the places where the church is suffering, where it's finding persecution, or finding the church is thriving. It's important in our lives, in our church, to reflect and assess how we've done and where we're going, and set some goals. It is not easy to do. Even in our personal lives, we don't always like to assess and ask ourselves, how are we doing in certain things? Looking at maybe we've gone, or we're in the middle of education, and asking questions, how are we doing with this? Is this on track? Or we look at our job, or we look at friends that we have, or how our family is developing, how we're doing with our kids. Assessing and trying to reflect on that and then set some goals is hard to do because you have to look honestly at yourself and say, yeah, I'm either doing well in this or I'm not doing well in this. Very few people assess much of anything in their lives to a deep enough level to make change. We just kind of go through and we like how things go, we don't like how things go, but to actually make a change or transformation in some way, a rare group of people do it. And for those that do actually assess and look at that, some will set goals. Goals, again, are a great way to say, okay, I don't like how things have been, I'm going to set a goal so that I can achieve this thing that I want to. You set that goal. Even a smaller percentage of people that assess, and a smaller percentage that set a goal, even a smaller group, then look at how they did on those goals. And that gets right down to the nitty-gritty, because you took the time to actually set a goal and then fail at it, right? I mean, who wants to do that? Like, I set a goal, that should be good enough. I give you a great example. How many of you are walking your New Year's resolutions? Exactly. My wife has a terrifying tradition, and I mean, it is terrifying. I actually get anxious prior to New Year's Eve because what she does is, each year she has us write down what our New Year's resolutions are, and she keeps them in this little jar. And then at New Year's, we make new ones, and she pulls out the old ones, and we read all our old resolutions. Which is really, for me, like an eight-year example of all my failures. I go, maybe this year I'll get it. It's terrifying because, I'm confronted with it. I mean, I'm accountable, I guess, in some way to that revealing of it, but people just don't like to assess how they're doing. Because what do you do if it's not good? I already set a goal, and I didn't make that happen. Now what? I don't like the way things are going with my kids. I don't like how things are going with my job. I don't like how things are going with my school. I don't like how things are going with these friendships. I don't like how my romantic life is going. I mean, you name it. People have all their things that they want to have differently than they are. And the church also has to assess. But the problem is that the church doesn't like to assess. Because if we assess and we find out that we're not doing the kinds of things that Jesus would do if he were here leading this, then we say, now what? Because we have our prize programs or, whatever it might be. This is the way we do things. I don't want to be too uncomfortable. I don't want to go too far into this. So I kind of like the comfort of what I have. The church has to assess. The church in America has to assess and evaluate, because what we saw in that video is a reality that's coming at us. We need to focus on this, and we need to ask some serious questions. Last week, we had a pretty tough message. We looked at how Hillcrest, the state of the church at Hillcrest, was doing internally, and we challenged ourselves in a few different ways last week. We talked about that we need to be attending consistently at church, that attendance is key in continuing to come and then getting involved in the life of the church. So it's not just showing up, but showing up is first, and then it's getting involved. So it's being more involved. Then we talked about committing new membership. Last week we had 29 people sign up to become members at Hillcrest, which is a huge number. That's amazing. That's like 10% of what showed up yesterday, adults in church. But most importantly, we talked about that as a church, we need to do a better job of making friends. And the best way to make a friend, we talked about last week, was to be a
friend.
That's right. We need to make friends by being a friend. We need to connect with one another. Next week, we're going to look at the state of Hillcrest globally, how we're doing globally. The last week, we're going to kind of wrap up all of what we've done and set some actual goals that we're going to be accountable to. But today, we're going to look at how we're doing here in Sioux Falls. How is Hillcrest really in Sioux Falls. So to start off, I want to give you a text out of Matthew chapter 28. In this text, we have Jesus's really his final words to his disciples. This text shows up in two different places. It shows up in Matthew, and in Matthew here they're up in Galilee. Now, if you're familiar with the Holy Land area, this would be north of Jerusalem, like quite a way. So they travel quite a way up to the Sea of Galilee. But another time he says this in Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem, just up on the Mount of Olives. At the top there is Bethany, and he said it there. When he said it in Bethany, at that moment he ascended into heaven. Now, what we're reading here in Matthew happened in Galilee, so this is the first of two times that he's saying this. But it's an important thing that he's saying, because he's summarizing all of his teaching. This is after the resurrection, and he's summarizing his teaching for his disciples so they know how to be the church, so they know what it is they're to do. This is their mission statement. This is their purpose. This is what they're about. And so it says here, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, the only word I have highlighted for you, go, and then he says, make disciples of all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, and with you always to the end of the age. So, Jesus' final words, a lot in there. We'll break this down in the weeks to come, but for right now, I want you to focus on the single word I've highlighted, which is go. Now, that might seem like a strange word to highlight of all the words in this, but the word go, volumes have been written theologically about the word go in this sentence. Not only volumes, but entire books have been written about the word go. And let me explain, I guess, a little bit without getting into too much detail about this word go that is put on here. But go is a participle in the Greek. Now, for those of you that remember your English, if you have a participle, what do you put on the end of it that really makes it a participle? Come on, you know it. Help everybody out. Yeah, you put an ing on the end. And you're like, oh yeah. Some of you are like, I still didn't know that. Participle, you have an ing, and ing words are participle. So, to make this a participle in English, it would say what? Going, right. Understand this. When Jesus is telling his disciples to go into all the world and list all these things off, he's not saying this. He's not saying, where you have never been, where all these places that don't know about me, it is now time to go to those areas. And now you'll be a missionary, because none of you are those kinds of missionaries, going to Cameroon or South Sudan or Zimbabwe or whatever you might identify as a mission. He's not saying, go do that, and then while you're there, bring people to Christ. That's not what he's saying. It's also included in what he's saying, but that is not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. While you're going, while you're this morning, your alarm went off, and you hit the snooze seven times, and you woke up. And from that point forward, you're going, and while you're going, as you're going. You're gonna get to work tomorrow, as you're going, while going, as you're going, as you participle go, as you're going, you're just gonna go. And when you go, these things. When you go to the supermarket, when you're standing in line, as you're going, wherever it is, taekwondo class, as you're going, as you're hanging out with your buddies on Friday night, as you're going, while you're going, through life, doing life, all the places where God has put you in life, while going, do these things. So see, it's not just like for some group or some missionary to go do, but it was something that Jesus gave for all of us to do. He said, hey, while you're going, as you go, do these things. It's important that we understand that our job is to be ambassadors of Christ and reflect him and to be an example of him as we go, no matter where it is. This is in your personal life. And as your personal life comes together with other personal lives that are followers of Jesus, that's called a what? As people are going through their life and they show up in one spot, and they're Christians, and other people are Christians, and they're going along their life, and they show up at one spot. As they show up again, and more Christians show up, what does the Bible call that group?
The church.
The church. Very good. Talked about that last week. That's a church. Church is an address. It's not a place. It's an identity. Okay? So we are a church. As the church comes together, as it's going, then that's where we do these things. So Hillcrest, being a church, we have to ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? As we're all going, and as we go into our world, if we come here, how are we doing? Because it's not just some institution, some organization. It's not up to what some board says or what some single pastor says. It's us as a church. How are we doing as we go? And so as we look at Sioux Falls, one of the things that was a very sobering thing for us here is 14 years ago, we started to ask some questions that were unnerving. Because we started to say, how are we doing? How are we doing in our world? How are we doing in Sioux Falls? And when we started to look at this question, it started to become very sobering for us. And the question really became clearer to us, and it looked like this. We started to ask this question. If Hillcrest disappeared from Sioux Falls, would anyone notice? Now, when I say anyone, I don't mean those who were attending Hillcrest. Of course you would notice, because you'd show up on Sunday and say, hey, where'd they go? What we meant is, aside from us and our families, would the community know? Would our neighbors know? Would our community know that we weren't doing church anymore? Would they know that we just disappeared? And the sobering answer to that was that, for the most part, no one would miss us. And we knew that if Jesus was in the flesh standing before us and leading this motley crew, that the community would probably be impacted by Jesus' presence. Would you agree? I don't know, you know, we didn't know what that would be, but we certainly know they would be impacted, because if Jesus went anywhere, he impacted lots of people, and whenever he left that area, he left a huge void. And so Hillcrest, being the ambassadors of Christ, and had been here for a lot of years, decade after decade, doing good work, I will say, doing good work, but knowing that if we left, there would be no void. At least very small. Now, that's a kind of assessment you don't want to do. You don't want to think all the work that you've done, all the things that you're doing, are not making an impact in a positive way for the kingdom in that kind of way. We have to say this really is how it is. And so we started to look at doing things differently and started praying about what God would have in store for us and to change our trajectory. If you look at Hillcrest today versus Hillcrest 14 years ago, it's not even recognizable. The change and the transformation has happened because of that single question. And what we did with an honest assessment and answer to that question, we set goals, we changed our focus, taught ourselves, and I think the place we sit today is a lot better than we were. Are we done? No. But I think we've done well with where we've been so far. One of the best ways to determine your values is with your bank register. In other words, how you spend your money many times is connected to your values. Would you agree? I mean, if I looked at your bank statement, if somebody around here said, hey, you don't know who this person is, but look at their bank statement, tell me something about them. Do you think you could tell something about that person? Of course you could. I mean, you might see, like, you know, 50 checks or swipes or deposits, you know, related to their kids and their kids' activities. You'd say this is a family, but they're super involved with their kids. What do you know, that this is a huge focus for them, it's a value for them as a family. You can tell that by looking at the bank statement. Other people, maybe they have a lot of charges. Well, let's not just imagine that. Whatever it might be, whatever someone's thing might be, you can tell what it is that they do or what is a value to them. Same is true for a church. You look at a church checkbook register, and you can tell what that church values. Prior 14 years ago to today, the things that are in our church checkbook register are radically different. And this is how different they are. In 14 years, what we weren't doing before, but then started doing as a result of asking this question, we have given away, literally given away, $903,866.44. Hillcrest has given away nearly $1 million to aids and organizations here in Sioux Falls to love on our community that we were not doing prior to that 14 years ago. That is evidence of a value change within Hillcrest and it's giving to this community and the programs and the ministries that are in this town, the partnership that we have with many of those ministries today. So far, we are up to 65 backpacks that we have sponsored this this year, which is awesome. $150 to sponsor a backpack. 65 out of this congregation. Prior to this year, Hillcrest has sponsored, over the years, 740 backpacks in that 14-year period of time that we would not have done prior to that. And again, that's over and above the giving that I just talked about, because that's giving directly from you to that backpack program. Prior to this, 14 years ago, we were working with two organizations in this community, the Alpha Center and Kind of Community Outreach. And I say kind of, like we barely use community outreach for anything. We didn't really give so much directly to them, but we used them a little bit. Those are the two organizations. Today, 26 organizations. 26 organizations in Sioux Falls, like Cleveland Elementary School. Big partnership over there. Things that we do, that we partner with, that we weren't doing before. This question changed our focus, changed the way that we do ministry, changed what we as a church are about. Like I said, hardly recognizable from those years ago. We are now currently sponsoring 36 children as a result of members in this congregation sponsoring children over in Africa. That's about $30-$35 a month. Those kids are being sponsored right here in Hillcrest, 36 kids. We've helped with 18 adoptions. That number was zero prior to 14 years ago. We've helped families bring foster care into their homes, bring kids into their homes, 16 of those. These are things that happened since this change and transformation that we went through. We've had tens of thousands of community volunteer hours that we did not have before. And is there more to do? You bet there is. Hillcrest is doing an amazing job of loving on this community. And as your pastor, I am so proud of what we're doing. Yeah, there's ways to go. I'm sure if Jesus was here, he'd say, hey, good job, guys, but, and then he'd point out some other areas. We need to be sensitive to those. We need to focus on those. We can't just pat ourselves on the back, but it is good every once in a while to pause long enough to say, hey, what you're doing, good stuff. This is good. This is encouraging. This is what the body of Christ is supposed to be about. This is what the church should be doing in every community. And every church in this community should be doing this exact same thing. And Hillcrest is taking a lead in that in many ways, too, as other churches are looking and learning from us on the things that we're doing. We're not perfect. And there's other churches that are doing even more amazing things than we are that we're inspired to get on board with. But Hillcrest is doing a great job. And today, if Hillcrest left this community and just disappeared, there would be a tremendous hole. There would be a tremendous void in our community, where Hillcrest would no longer be involved where we're currently involved. That was not the case 14 years ago. If you don't believe me, take a look at some of our partners as they put this whole video together.
Hello, Hillcrest family. This is Mike Adams with the Adams Circle Foundation. And today I just wanted to thank you for the difference you're making in the life of a child and family. Your sponsorship means that a boy or girl are able to go to school for the first time, and it lifts up their entire family.
Hey, Hillcrest. Dan over at Community Outreach. Just wanted to take a second and thank you for all the support you've given our ministry and the people that walk into its doors.
Good morning, Hillcrest Church. This is Matt Gaston. Matt, the CEO for Phoenix, South Dakota. But I'd like to just take a moment this morning to thank you also very much for the wonderful support that you provide to our organization and to the children that we serve.
Hello, Hillcrest. My name is Mitch Schaefer, and I have the privilege of serving as principal here at Cleveland Elementary. My hope with this here today is that you truly recognize the great things that you are doing for our entire Cleveland community and the amazing impact that you have.
A quick update from last April when we were with you. The high school in Posada is completed, and we have kids starting to go to school this school year in the high school. We have 200 more kids that we're able to bring into Mozada because of that new school. And in Toro, the more rural school, we're serving a school lunch program for the first time. And as you know, these kids were not eating for many days or not getting good quality meal.
Because of what you do, we were able to over double the number of people that we helped with in 2016, reaching over 8,000 people in need of housing, transportation, and utility assistance. Our Genesis program alone reached 45 families who needed relationship, budgeting education, and just basic resources to make our ends meet.
Your contributions have supported our backpack programs since the very beginning, and for that we'll be forever grateful. The food that you help provide, the finances that you contribute to our organization, ensured that last year alone, 56 children were provided a weekend food package to take home over those long weekends when they lost access to the food that they would normally get in the school meal programs. These 56 kids would not be where they are today if it wasn't for your support. The importance of this food goes beyond just being that hunger need that exists on the weekend. It enables these children to show up to school on Monday mornings and be in a much better position to live, to learn, to grow.
I continue to be amazed at the passion, the dedication, and the selflessness that you show and share with us. I know that I won't capture everything here, but with the gift cards for staff, the meals, the incentives for attendance within the classrooms you provided, the encouragement and prayer, so please continue that, the clothing and the shoes for kids, and the list just goes on. When adults are lifted up here, it translates directly to our students, creating that positive and productive learning environment for all.
So on behalf of Phoenix, South Dakota, and the children, we'll be blessed by your generosity. We say thank you.
Thanks again for all you do.
So from all of us here in Cleveland, thank you.
Hillcrest, thank you for the work that you're doing for these kids and for the kingdom. Keep it up. God bless you.
You give yourself a hand on that. I'm proud as your pastor to have people in this community that would be willing to say those kinds of things to you, encouraging you to keep it up, because it is making a difference in the lives of people. I don't even know if you can fathom how significant it is that a public school principal just asked you to continue doing what for him in his school?
Pray
for him. And he said, don't stop, continue. That the trust that is there, that we have been able to foster and honor with these organizations and to partner with them. We are blessed by it as they are blessed by it, and the kingdom is blessed, and the community is blessed by it as well. So we need to continue to move forward with this. One of the things that I think is challenging as your pastor is I look through how we're doing here in Sioux Falls, here in Hillcrest, and how we're serving here in Sioux Falls, is that, you know, if you look over on that 1, 2, 3, 4th card over, it says serving and volunteering. 54% of Hillcresters are serving, which means 46% are not serving. 46% come on a Sunday, they enjoy the services, and then they step out and they just never are involved. Some like it, they say, yeah, I'm a part of a church, it's like rocking it in the community. But you have to be, remember, the church is people, not an institution. So all of us have to be rocking it in the community. I want to encourage you, is there some time during the week, you know, some moment during some week that you're able to help and serve? And one of the ways that we provide opportunities for, or maybe once a month, in some way, to get involved more than just attending, because it will make a greater impact on our community, and it's what we're supposed to be about. That's what we're trying to assess. And so some ways we're doing well, others are doing, trying to encourage you. This is your invitation. Please join us in this work. Most churches, when they're trying to evaluate how well they're doing, there's two things they usually evaluate themselves with. Do you know what they are? Attendance, yeah, attendance, butts in the seat. How many butts in the seat? We don't care here at Hillcrest. We don't care how many people come. We're more interested in those that come here that are fired up and excited and engaged with the community and what we're doing, not how many people are just coming and filling up space. The second thing is what? Yeah, money. Giving. Hillcrest does not care how much comes to the plate either. It's not a focus of ours. We're not care about how many butts are in the seat and how many dollars are in the plate. We trust God will give us what we need to do the ministry this year. What we did is we said we need to change our scorecard from these two dumb things that just get us off track. Because, man, if you're just trying to get money in the plate, butts in the seat, who knows what kind of ministry you're going to have. They have a kegger on Sunday morning. I don't know, that'll bring people in the seats, right? You know, charge double for it. That'll put money in the cup. I mean, really, like, what kind of crazy things might you do if that's your scorecard? Our scorecard are these things. And the score is underneath. So each one of these tells us the things that are valuable and important to us. And I want to encourage you to join us in this. Maybe adoption. Maybe you've been praying about adoption. Since God tugging on your heart with that, we would love to partner with you on adoption. We have a lot of experience here with it. A lot of great people that have done that here at Hillcrest. A team there is. And we'd love to help you in that process. Maybe it's foster care, just opening your home to a child that's in need for whatever reason, short-term, long-term, respite care, doesn't matter. We'd love to help you with that, the training that you need so you can open up your home to your child. Over here, we've got Adams Thermal Foundation, 18 kids through Adams Thermal Foundation alone, $35 a month. This January, we are heading to Ethiopia, and I invite all 18 families who have sponsored children to join us in going over to Ethiopia. And maybe you just want to go there and check it out. We invite you to come along as well. We'll give you information on that. We're going to go there. We're going with Adams Thermal Foundation. We're going to the school, the places that you showed there. We're going to meet these kids. My family sponsors a little girl there. We're going to meet her. Maybe you haven't sponsored a child yet. You want to go on the Ethiopia trip just to like check out the kids and pick one out. You could do that. It'd be a little awkward, but you could do it. We would love to have you come along with that. So that's this January. You know, community hunger, whether we're serving at the banquet or all the various ways that we help with community hunger. Join us in this. It's all kinds of opportunities to come up all the time in the bowl. You know, the backpack program, we're at 65, our goal is 70. I do know that we had another one first service, and so it's 66. We're looking for 4 more people. I think even there might be some people that sponsor but didn't do it through Hillcrest. Maybe you fill out the card, send it on your own. Let us know if you have it, because that would add to that number. $150 gives a kid food for an entire year. There's just no better thing you could do with that $150. Or maybe you could just put $20 towards that. Somebody else puts towards it, and we can compile that together. Consider that. We would love to have you join with that. Over here, we've got South Sudan. We've been there 2 times. They're in civil war. We can't get back. It's too dangerous. And we're just praying for the opportunity to get back there, to see our friends that we've met there, the ministry that has started there, but we can't get back there. But we're looking at other ways to do global missions. The South Sudan is still heavily on our hearts. Cleveland Elementary, you saw Mitch on the video. Maybe you've got 15 minutes a week. You have 15 minutes? You can be a reading buddy or a math buddy. You just literally sit down with a kid and you help them read for 15 minutes and then you go out of school, back on your lunch break, back to work, and you're done. 15 minutes of all kids. You can join us in what's happening here at Hillcrest and raise that 54% to 55 or whatever it might be. There's also the Lutheran Social Services school-based mentoring program. You do that over at Cleveland or really at any school that's near you. And that's where you sit down with a kid over lunch and you just talk with this kid. It's a kid who wants a mentor. And sometimes those foster incredible relationships out of that. You know, I was a school-based mentor. Actually, I was a reading buddy. I became a school-based mentor, and then eventually became a foster father of that kid. That probably not going to happen to you, but it happened to me. That's how that worked. God developed that and just orchestrated all of it. I don't know what God has in store for you, but if you're not doing it, nothing will happen. You know, small groups we have here, serving opportunities, there's tons of them. Community outreach is our last one down at the far end, and underneath there we put the amount that we give to community outreach each quarter, so you can kind of track with us with that. The community outreach has an incredible opportunity they've asked me to share with you from the Genesis program, in which they take families, they identify families with all their work with the community, families that are homeless, that are showing signs of making positive choices to move from homelessness, and as they get more and more stable, they can enter into the Genesis program, and community outreach will pair them with a mentor, an individual, a couple, a small group that will help to help this couple budget and help them through life skill things. And there's a whole curriculum, a whole program, something you have to figure out all on your own. A whole program that community outreach has, and you walk with these families. It's a very, very difficult ministry, but incredibly rewarding and relational with individuals who are ready to make that job. They sent us an email with about 6 names on it of individuals that they have identified are ready for the Genesis program and are ready to move from homelessness to a home. But there are no mentored couples in all of Sioux Falls. And they reached out to us to say, is there anyone in your church that might possibly be willing to explore this and at least ask some questions to see if this Genesis program is for them? So if this intrigues you at all, with no commitment, you can come talk to myself, Pastor Brian. We'd love to give you some more information and connect you with it. But there are families that are struggling. They need a mentor right now to get out of that situation. And Sioux Falls has none available. I've got to think there's got to be at least a few here in Sioux Falls. So pray about that, consider that. These are opportunities to serve in our community, to really make a difference in a very tangible way. So yeah, there's things we can do better, but we are doing amazing as a church. A couple areas that I quickly want to give to you that we need to grow in. One is one that's personal for me. It is corporate for all of us. But we need to do a better job of working with other churches, which I think is a fill-in I got for you on your bulletin. We need to start working with other churches. This is a very difficult thing to do, and most churches can never put really much energy in this at all because they're just trying to figure out how to work within their own selves. Then after that, then they're trying to love their community in some ways. Hillcrest is doing great internally. Hillcrest is doing great in our community, but we do need to grow with now reaching out and doing things with other churches. The way that you do this, it's not easy, because churches like to fight with one another, and they like to argue about different things like baptism and you know, who knows, there's a myriad of things that churches like to argue about, because, you know, there's right churches and wrong churches, and whatever church you're in is the right church, and whatever church they're in is the wrong church. It doesn't matter which one you're in, you have to, whatever one you're in is the right one, and all the others are wrong ones. The way that it works is pastors have to know pastors. So I have to befriend, and I have to gain the trust of other pastors. And as I do that, then they will trust me with their congregation, and I, too, will trust them with my congregation. So it's not that you can just jump out and do it. You can try it. It just doesn't seem to work. I have to develop a meaningful, deep friendship with other pastors. And this is not always an easy thing to do, because we're kind of lone wolves in many ways. But over the last couple of years, I've taken this very, very seriously, and I have been working hard at having very close and connected relationships with pastors here in Sioux Falls. If you know Pastor Rich at Camp Glory, he and I have become very close. Or Pastor Zach at Red Door. Pastor Randy at our Savior's Lutheran Church. Pastor Tom at Calvary Chapel. Pastor Allen at The Point. Pastor Jim over at Oak Hills. Or Pastor Jonathan at Connection Church, who meets in the school down over here. He uses our building for men's events and other things. We're trying to build these relationships. And as I build those with these other pastors, we can then have a more meaningful connection. I was paid the greatest compliment a couple of weeks back in an Empower Sioux Falls meeting that I am on the board with. And Pastor Rich from King of Glory stood up in front of all these other pastors. He said, I want you to know that Pastor Doug and I have come from different denominations, different traditions. But he said, I want you to know that I would not hesitate him coming on Sunday and preaching to my church. I trust him. That was the greatest compliment he could give. And I would feel the same about Pastor Rich. We have different beliefs on certain things, but the minors don't affect the majors, which is we both believe in Christ. And just because he does things differently than me doesn't mean it should disqualify us from being able to do things together. Do you agree? We still should get together and do things. And our churches should get together. We just, when we get together, we probably won't lead on my mode of baptism. So that's not important in what we're talking about and what we're doing together as a community. I can't help it. Pastor Rich has it all wrong and Hillcrest has it all right. I know I've told you this before, but you are so lucky. You go to a church that has everything 100% correct. Not another church out there like that. Just Hillcrest has it all right. Everybody else needs to miss a piece. Just how foolish it sounds. It's not about that. Everybody has their different bents on certain things. But, right or wrong, it's about being followers of Christ and loving our community. We need to do that in other churches. So I make a commitment to doing that. In John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, this is Jesus' words. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that we're my disciples. It's that love for one another that proves we are his disciples. And the world is looking for that. Instead, the world sees fighting and arguing and all kinds of negativity from the church to the church. We need to erase that. Be an example of we are all the body of Christ, united together, and we can love and serve our community as a result of that unifying. The second thing we need to work on is something for you as a congregation. And that is, we got to fill in here for it. We need to start inviting people to church. Now, I know the minute I say that, you're like, oh my goodness, Pastor Doug, that's nope, ain't gonna happen. Do you know what when they do studies on people's spiritual growth and development within the church, do you know what the last thing is that people start doing in their maturity? What's the last spiritual discipline they do? Huh? It's not invite. I know you think it is, but it's up here. It's not. Yeah, it's giving. Nope. I gotta really love Jesus to give up my money. And so people that giving is one of the last things. When they start tithing, that shows kind of they've come full circle in their maturity. and they're ready for those next steps. But that's like the last one. The one just before that, and I mean, and it's really close, is this one. It's sharing your faith with other people. People don't want to do that. They're uncomfortable, they're nervous, they feel like, I don't want to be ostracized. I don't even know if it's legal in America to share my faith. I mean, people have all kinds of crazy ideas. You know, or at your work, like, if I let people know I'm a Christian at work, I could get fired, right? Like, if I put something up in my cubicle, like, I'm out of there. People have all kinds of different ideas on this. So let me kind of break this down just a little bit for you. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7, it says, so reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, and now you do it. And Jesus has asked us to do this. He said to go, as you're going, to do this, to invite people to know him. How do you do that? All kinds of different ways, okay? Let's go the easiest way. And this may shock you that this is a way to invite people to church. A great way to invite people to church, who here uses Facebook? Facebook users? Don't be ashamed. Facebook users? Put your hands up. Okay, yeah. It looks like everybody, for the most part, is using Facebook if you're using anything. If you go onto Facebook and you look up Hillcrest Church, because Hillcrest has a Facebook page, and you like Hillcrest Church, do you know that things that we post here at Hillcrest will show up on your feed? And your friends will see that you're a part of a church. I mean, I guess it's non-committal as that. And for the most part, we don't put on anything weird or freaky. For the most part. Sometimes Brian and I have a little fun with that, but Jen always tries to trump whatever we're doing, and she makes sure it's all good. No, it's just a great way. Like, you go to the corn maze, or we're going bowling, or you know, we have events that are coming up, and it shows up on your feed, people can see it. If you like that thing, or share that onto your feed, all your friends will see these things, and it's a way for you to communicate what's important to you and valuable to you, but not a way that's preaching to them in any way. Social media is a great platform. But you can also like the press through Instagram, and you know, we don't have a Snapchat. That doesn't matter. It's only a few seconds. If anyone's light, it disappears forever. But you can like those things, or you can invite them. You can invite a friend to an event. Like whether it is something like bowling or, man, I could not agree. And it's not like, who here has been to the church bowling when we've done bowling before the church? Yeah, that's a good one. Now, when we're all done bowling, how long do I preach after that? Like 10 minutes, maybe? No, I don't. I don't even stay to the end. I play one round, I'm out of it. That's not what we do. And it doesn't get preachy. It's not like we have like prayer request time before you bowl. You can bring your friend and literally just have them get to know other people. It's a great idea to let your friends know that you're bringing someone that maybe has got some issues with the church or has not been in the church, just so your friends can love on that person in a way that's also not freaky and uncomfortable. Like, just care about them. Be friendly to them. The easy ways that you can just, let your... You have a friend that's going through a hard time. You don't have to preach at them, but you can always say to them, studies say people appreciate someone saying, I'll pray for you, even if they're far from God or don't go to church. If you have friends going through a hard time, just say, is it okay if I pray for you? They might not want you to do it for them right there in front of them. Some might, most not. Just say, can I pray for you? What are they going to say? No, please don't. I don't want none of that. What are they going to say? It just shows that you're a person of faith and you care about. Other things that you can do is invite them to a church service. We try to make it very friendly and easy for a friend to come. If you are going to invite someone to church, pick them up. Say, I'll pick you up. Because otherwise, they're not going to come. Pick them up, show up at the doorstep, bring them to church. Again, tell your friends ahead of time so that they have people they can connect with here, that are friendly when they're here, and then say, we're going to go out to lunch afterwards. You go out, go to Qdoba or wherever. Invite your church friends to come along. Well, you'll be amazed the friendship can be developed one Sunday if you plan that correctly. And I promise you can even call me and say, Pastor Doug, I have a friend that's coming this Sunday. Don't preach a student sermon. I will change it all for you and your friend. Whatever it takes. Because I know how important it is for you. What a risk that is to take. We want to honor that. We trust that you can here at Doug and the rest is a safe place. Invite them to your small group. Invite them to a service project. You're doing backpacks. Invite them to do backpacks with you. You're packing backpacks. Whatever it might be. But invite them to be a part of it.
Yeah, Jesus.
share an online message with someone. You're all online, share a link with them, maybe they'll listen, maybe they'll inspire them. You know, most people are looking to come on Easter, and they don't know how to come to church because they don't belong to church. So have them come on Easter. Invite them. They say, I want to go to church on Easter, but I feel like if I go anywhere, I'm going to be like a weird guy that nobody knows, and I don't know what church to go to. People are looking for that invite around Easter time. Be the one to invite. Look, if you disappeared from your neighborhood, like we asked the question, Hillcrest disappeared, would anyone notice? If you disappeared from your neighborhood, or work, wherever you spend your time, would there be a spiritual divot? Would anyone's spiritual life be impacted by your absence in those settings? And if not, it's just time for you to do some retooling. Say, I really need to live my faith a little differently. Don't get us on a soapbox. It's not going to do anybody any good. Don't get weird. Be real. We don't make friends so we can share our faith with them. We share our faith with those that we're friends with because we love them and we care about them. Because we found something, we hope that they can discover it. And we invite them into that process and into that discovery. Now, as a church, here at Hillcrest, we're going to do a better job of working with other churches. It starts with me. Pastor Brian and I are working very hard at developing relationships with other pastors so that we can connect our congregations with one another. I want to encourage you to start sharing your faith with others in real, natural, tangible ways. Finding ways to invite someone to hear the hope that you found. To find inspiration in a world that has only despair. Sometimes people aren't ready for it. There's those moments in life you're more ready than you'll ever be. And God will put you in that place at that time and put it on your heart. It's up to you to respond. You know, to reach out is to love. But to continue in our comfort, while at its best, that's complacency. I bet the Bible might even call that hate. We're to be a people of love. To love God, to love others. When it comes to two balls, so rest is wrong. We've got some things to grow on, some things to I'm so proud to be your pastor, to serve this church and this community the way that you're loving us. We're going to continue.